from runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 695, Wi-Fi Using Ubiquity, with guest Daniel Peasons, recorded Friday, April 24th, 2020. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts, LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Daniel Peasons, who has had more than 15 years of experience in the software industry. And Dan has built world-class enterprise applications in transportation, insurance, and healthcare industries. He was a Microsoft Patterns and Practices champion and is a regular advisor to Microsoft on DevOps-related topics. And he speaks regularly at conferences such as Agile and DevOps Days, but of course enjoys the local user group. I don't think you're doing a lot of speaking at conferences right now, friend.
No, I'm not, unfortunately.
It's interesting times, no two ways about it. But
interesting how many of the conferences have gone virtual. I actually enjoyed Build as a virtual conference this year.
It went very well, and it looked good, and they definitely came up with an aesthetic. Like, I think for the first couple of months, as the pandemic went worldwide, it was very much a sort of down-homey, hey, we're just trying to make this work, like throw a sheet up on the barn kind of, you know, everybody's forgiving everything because we're just trying to make it work. But Build, to me, felt like the first event where it's like, hey, we're taking advantage of virtual. We're around the clock. They had that sort of consistent layout of a slide deck with the talking head to the side. Like, it had a style to it. I wonder if we're just going to see more of that as people get more sophisticated.
Yeah, I can only imagine what Camtasia's current revenue cycle is. It's got to be way up from normal.
Well, and I appreciate that the companies that are doing very well during this crisis are, you know, kind of staying quiet about it because there's lots of people who are struggling also. But I understand, like, pool builders are through the roof as summer comes into the northern hemisphere and everybody's staying home. They're like, you know, we always meant to get a pool, and so they're doing it today.
Yep.
Well, you know, thank goodness for the industry we're in, where the most part our work can be done remotely and is being done remotely.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. I don't normally talk about branded products like Ubiquity, but everybody seems to be talking about this thing right now. I went and switched over to it too, and quite coincidentally, my Linksys AC1900 WRT packed it in. And I'm like, well, everybody's talking about Ubiquity, you know, Troy Hunt approves, so... What's the deal? Why is this such a popular subject right now?
Well, I think the way I initially got into it was for my own home.
Right.
Kind of like you, because I heard you mention it one time on the show a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And bought a single access point and thought, okay. And it was basically because my router was in the basement. I live on the first and second floor of our house, so it was like, I really need an access point on the first floor, but I'm not going to install two, you know, Linksys modems or routers in the house just to basically get an access point on the next floor.
Right.
And so I started with that, and then I was impressed with it, and I'm like, well, I wonder how well meshing works, and it got another one and meshed it to a different part of the house. So, you know, meshing is basically just that you can put them together without necessarily feeding it another Ethernet cable. You can just give it power, and then one sort of basically traffic feeds the next one. So as long as they're all kind of hockey pucked around your house, you can basically build one with only one network cable going to one of them, type of thing.
Right. And it seems like that's the nicest experience I've had, is meshing more than one of these things together. Like, because I've done meshing the old fashioned way, and it's very tricky to do well. And it was trivial to do in Ubiquity.
Yeah. I also like that they have a lot of smarts built into them on their own. Mm-hmm. And one of the smarts is that when you build it into mesh things, they all kind of sense each other's power and then balance each other out, so that you aren't, like you said, I've done meshing manually in the past, and then you're messing with like, oh, is the power too strong on this one? Is it not strong enough on that one? And you're sitting there flipping settings for an hour.
The correct answer seems to be leave it in auto mode, and it seems to work out. I was astonished to see within an hour, my devices around the house had just spread across the two APs.
Yeah.
Like that to me was a surprise, because I'm used to, again, in old school mesh networks, you kind of have to be out of range of one before you negotiate for another. So that it was interesting as to how part well that works. And I certainly have folks that I've worked with running office networks where they have 100 access points, where it truly is a large scale mesh network. And they've always rocked about that. But I've always experienced that when something's good in that scenario, where you've spent $250,000 on it, it doesn't make sense in the home. Like, it's odd that Ubiquiti seems to have this balance.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting part is, I think there's a lot of complaints about Ubiquiti from an initial setup standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
If you just buy one access point,
yeah.
I will fully agree that it is not the easiest to set up, because you have to install software usually on a PC, yeah, and make sure that that's running to manage it, although you can turn it off and it will, like, the access point will obviously keep going. But if you ever need to reconfigure it, then you have to fire up that software again.
Yeah. I would argue it is the worst experience you'll have with Ubiquiti is owning one access point.
Yeah, agreed.
Which is funny, because it's like, that's the inevitable entry point, and it sucks. I raged the first day setting up my AP just because it was such a nuisance.
Yeah. Well, and I think the key, like, if you're doing it on a home level today, I think the money shot is to buy, they have something called the Dream Machine.
Oh.
And it's basically a switch, a router, and an access point in one. So it's your typical Linksys-y type of thing. And it works if you need an access point around wherever the rest of the device is, but it also has, its ports are PoE, so you can plug them in and have other access points around the house. But the really nice part is that it's Bluetooth enabled, and there's an app for your phone. So your initial setup experience is really nice, where you basically plug it into the wall and install the app on your phone, and it's got, you know, Bluetooth searches it, and basically it starts setting itself up for you, more or less.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like a big commitment at that point when you go Dream Machine like that. You're going to change your entire place over to a new model.
Yeah. Well, from a home standpoint, I think the entry price was under $200 for the Dream Machine for the home version, which looks more like the Apple Home things or the Apple.
Yeah, right. It's not rack mount gear. It's kind of pretty. It's glowy blue lights on it, and it's kind of a cylinder.
Yeah.
So definitely more home oriented.
But for the office, what's the suite is actually becoming pretty compelling, because I've been having it at our business, and we have a small company, but I just recently upgraded to the newer generation, mostly because my gateway finally died.
Right.
And I got the newest one, which that actually has the exact same nice setup as the home version, where you basically just have a Bluetooth app. It pairs with the Dream Gateway, and then that you can basically start setting the whole thing up from your phone. Which
is this the Dream Machine Pro you're talking about?
Yes, this is the Dream Machine Pro.
Okay.
And that is rack mount, and they started adding a lot of enterprise-y level features. So it's got a little touchscreen where the blue U used to be on the rack mount thing. So it not only shows you power and the ring of healthiness, but also it shows you basic status, like, you know, is it running? Is it connected to the internet? Is it, you know, what's its temperature? Things like that. But then the really cool part of the app that I think is a lot of fun is it has a QR code as the last one that the app recognizes.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you, like, basically run your phone over any of these switches or gateways, it shows you what's connected to every port.
Oh, like a VR thing.
Yeah. So it's like a goggles type scenario where you can basically see, it's like, oh, this, I'm looking for port 16. Because that's the one that, you know, Betty's connected to, and that's not working right now.
Fancy. And again, even the Pro is not that expensive a device. Like, anything sub $1,000, I think, these are inexpensive bits of hardware, really.
Yeah, I think retail is about $300 for the gateway, and then the switches are another $200 or $300 each, depending on the size.
Crazy. Yeah, so interesting to think in terms of, would I rewire a small office with this? Just because then I have this ability to easily identify all the ports.
Yeah. Well, and then the question becomes, what else does your office need that you're normally running other equipment for? So I think the direction they're trying to go is the whole small office or really sophisticated house, depending on how you're looking at it. Mm-hmm. And they added camera systems to it. So like the new Dream Machine Pro has a space for your own hard drive that you can stick into it. And then it automatically lets you install the Unify Protect, which is basically their camera network. So because everybody's working remote, or at least more people are working remote, I actually installed cameras into the office just by the main door so that we can make sure that nobody breaks in or steals stuff, or the UPS guy doesn't just leave a package in front of the door, that kind of thing.
Right. At least you get notified when someone leaves a package in front of the door.
Yeah. And it's funny because the Protect allows you to draw little squares of areas where you want to be alerted, and it basically lets you draw a regular, you know, shapes as well, which is based on the angle of the camera, and like the door has glass in the middle. So I basically just squared the glass, and I got a notification, and it was about 1 a.m. And I'm like, what in the world is someone doing at 1 a.m? And it was just that the building that we're in goes into a power save mode at 1 a.m. and shuts off all the hallway lighting.
Right.
And it picked up on the hallway light shutting off and then sent me an alert. So
that's fair.
So I had to tell it not to do that.
But I'm also kind of glad when that happens. It's like something changed. I don't really know what it is. You figure it out right away as soon as you see it. But it's one of those kind of notifications. Like, okay, that's fine. But yeah, thanks for letting me know. That's very reasonable.
Yeah.
Jumping back to the APs for a bit, because obviously, you know, everybody cares about Wi-Fi these days. And it's even more important. I also appreciated that it does its own RF testing, because I've done that with external hardware, but built into any of these pro APs was do an RF test, and it sort of does, it goes offline for a few minutes and it kind of checks itself out, figures out what signals are strongest.
Yeah, it's really neat that it auto selects the correct channels and frequencies and everything that you need for the various protocols. In fact, if you're in a place that changes a lot or in a neighborhood where there's a lot of potentially interference, you can actually schedule it to run once a week or at whatever interval that you want. And it'll just keep running it for you. So if stuff changes or your neighbor decides to buy a new access point and their channel changes, you can just, it'll just fix it for you, kind of thing.
Yeah, I've always had interesting conversations with folks trying to determine when they're having Wi-Fi performance problems, like that it's not just that the Wi-Fi is busy or anything like that. It's like you're having bad interaction with other Wi-Fi in the building, or, you know, you know the experience where you fire up a phone and say, wow, there are 40 access points in view of this phone right now. This is not good.
Well, the other nice part is I would strongly recommend, if you're going to buy one access point, to spend the extra $90 to $100 and buy the cloud key that goes with it.
Right.
Because at least that gives you kind of the built-in, you still have to run the updates, but at least you don't have to worry about installing it on a machine and making sure it works. You just kind of plug it in and it sets itself up for the most part.
Right. We've sort of said this casually about the installing of software and stuff, but maybe we need to go through this in detail. So when you are starting from scratch with a single access point, there's an app, before you really can do anything, you kind of have to install the app on your machine.
Yeah, and I think the newer generations might let you use a Bluetooth app on the phone for just the access points, but I haven't tried that experience.
Right. So, but still, that's weird that you need a phone. Like, we're used to, with APs at least, you plug it directly into a machine, not on the network, you know, and set its IP address to be the appropriate IP address somewhere in the network. So then you can access it normally and you configure it from itself. Like, it's got a web server on board.
Yeah.
Then that's not how Ubiquiti works.
No, absolutely not.
And so, yeah.
But I think the advantage of it is that as it's relaying stuff through the network, it does report back a lot of the things, like you were talking about experience. The cloud key helps kind of monitor the overall experience, and its little built-in dashboard that you can get to does a great job of saying, okay, your overall internet experience is roughly this percent based on what I can monitor, and here's what's good and here's what's not. And the more of the stack that's obviously Ubiquiti hardware, the more of it you can monitor anywhere from, you know, the performance of your internet gateway and ISP all the way down to how well people are connected type of thing.
Well, and I think one of the things you're talking about here is this idea that it actually gives you kind of a rating.
Yeah.
Right? This sort of your Wi-Fi experience is 99 out of 100. Although I can't find any evidence for how it derives that number.
Yeah, that one might be a little guesstimating, because I've had times where it said, hey, your internet's 99 out of 100. And clearly that's not what I'm experiencing at the moment. So, and then it says everything else is fine too. So it's like, well, either the person's computer who they're working on is having some serious performance issues, or they're not quite truthful about where the internet's at.
Right. Well, yeah. What's this? My device is telling me that you're having a good experience. Whether you are or not is not my problem.
Exactly.
And Daniel, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message.
If keeping up with the growing amount of security patches and managing complex Microsoft in-place upgrades are becoming a pain point within your IT department, Barramundi Management Suite is the solution. The Barramundi Management Suite gives you real-time lifecycle management of all network endpoints, from classic Windows and Mac to iOS and Android devices. Barramundi software automates time-consuming tasks, including Windows migration, software installation, inventory, and backup. Whether you manage IT for a small company or a global corporation, Barramundi optimizes endpoint management, frees time for new projects, and reduces IT costs. Check out www.barramundisoftware.com to receive your Run As Radio 25% discount and info for a 30-day trial.
And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Daniel Peasons. And we're talking a bit about the Ubiquiti line of networking products, not just the Wi-Fi part, but also the gateways and things like that. But I do want to talk more about the Wi-Fi, just from the sense that this is the gateway drug. These are all PoE, you know, power over Ethernet. So, you know, you really only need an Ethernet cable to hook them up. That's the way they're designed. And they, if you buy them individually, they come with their PoE modules. Although if you buy at scale, like you can buy a 5-pack of APs and they don't come with the PoEs, because at that point you're presumed to have PoE in the rack.
Yeah. Although I have run into people that you have to look very carefully if you are going to buy Ubiquiti equipment to make sure that you're getting the PoE enabled switches, because they do sell both the enabled and not enabled version. Right. I've had people get surprised when they plug in their access point and they're like, it's not starting.
Yeah.
And I'm no like, power. It's not the PoE version.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. People get confused then. I would also say if there's one criticism that I have of it, especially replacing existing Wi-Fi network with it, was it is highly opinionated about focusing on 802.11a, on the 5 gigahertz band stuff. So it wants, it's sort of pushing you to the idea that you have one SSID that covers both the 2 gig and 5 gig. Mm-hmm. And it kind of resists you trying to split those two. And if you do split them, it still prioritizes the 5G. So, you know, I'm going in with an existing network with an existing SSID name. And as I set up the AP, it automatically said, well, that SSID is for 5 gig, which I have a whole bunch of 2 gig stuff that's only going to work on the 2 gig. So it made a different name for the 2 gig. And I actually had to fight it to name the base SSID the 2 gig name and then change the 5 gig name.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a little bit frustrating when you set it up. I guess I've been lucky that at least for my home setup, all of my equipment is 5G
right.
enabled. So I actually shut off the 2G completely, just the radio, because it's like, nothing is ever going to talk that, or at least none of the devices that I have. Yeah. And if my family brings 2G devices into the house, too bad.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, it's smart home stuff. A lot of smart home chipsets. That's true. Only have 2G support, right? I put in, this is the side effect of me being home for 3 months, right? Which is honestly the longest stretch I've been at home in 10 years is stuff is just being changed around the house. So I upgraded the whole audio system, changed out the sprinkler controller to a Wi-Fi enabled and controllable Wi-Fi thing. And it was 2G only. You know, that was the problem. So yeah, it was the sprinkler controller is one of the things that's 2G only. And so that, you know, it was important to make sure that it could get good reception back to the AP, because goodness knows you want to be able to use your tablet to talk to your sprinklers.
Yeah, you do want to, you definitely want to be able to talk to that stuff. Now, when you set your stuff up, did you put in a different VLAN for all your devices, or do you just trust everything on the same network?
Yeah, you know, I've got a VLAN for PCs that are doing the typical outbound NAT stuff. And then I have a VLAN for the household stuff, which is, I mean, the list is getting long now. It's a bunch of Nest thermostats, which, by the way, all only 2G. And, you know, the doorbell and a couple of cameras. And, like, it starts to add up. Like, it's a non-trivial chunk of devices.
Yeah, but it's very true that there is longer device. I guess I have less smart devices in the house, mostly because my wife gets frustrated with them and then gives up.
Yeah. Wife acceptance factor is an interesting challenge, right? To try and get that right.
Yeah.
It's a good, you've done something if they actually say, I like this and I'm unhappy it's now not working. Please make it work again.
Exactly.
And people just expect Wi-Fi to work. It doesn't matter whether you're at home or in the office. Like, Wi-Fi is so ubiquitous now. Our expectations are really high around it. It should just work.
Yeah. Well, and it should just work seems to be kind of the thing across everything. Like, it occurred to me, actually, I was working yesterday, that I was working, my kids were watching Amazon TV,
right?
Which meant they were doing stuff. I wasn't doing video stuff. I was just, you know, internet research and work. But then my wife was also on our Peloton bike in the basement, which has its own video feed and pulls a gig every workout in terms of traffic.
For sure.
And we have a decent internet connection, but it's nothing fantastic. And I was impressed that nobody was really stalling. And so I went and looked at our dashboard and was surprised to see that Ubiquiti was very nicely using, you know, quality of service to prioritize traffic, and seemed to be doing a relatively good job of it. Like, nobody had any stalls on their devices.
But it also means have you actually set any of the QoS stuff up? Like, have you given it priority? Like, that the TV gets lower priority than my web conference kind of thing?
Not really. I did make a minor tweak that the switch port that runs to my computer gets a higher priority than everything else.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course.
No selfish reasons involved at all. But I was just, it does a really good job of understanding what traffic is out there and just kind of managing all the, whatever your available bandwidth is, which is impressive, because I've seen a lot of devices just kind of flood your network and die.
Yeah, and kill things without a doubt. And it's all sorts of badly behaved devices too. I also like its whole recognition mechanism for devices on Wi-Fi, so that you can pretty quickly sort out known and unknown hardware.
Yeah. In fact, it's gotten even better with the recent Wi-Fi stuff, where you can go into the dashboard and it will try to look up a picture of the device if it has it in its database, which every once in a while you have to go find a picture for something. But I like it, because at a quick glance, I can see what's online, what's offline. It also says what's previously connected. Yeah. So not that it's a matter in the home network, but especially in the business environment, if you're worried that somebody may have been on your network, you can go back and kind of look through that history.
Yeah, absolutely. Once anything that has connected stays in the insights file, so you are able to see it and know that whenever it was there. It was also a challenge, even just in my home, to identify every device that was connected to my Wi-Fi. It turned out I had more than I realized, which is saying, and I'm like, what is that? What is that? I couldn't identify it. It was some weird chipset for an IoT device that I'd forgotten I'd left on.
Yeah. Actually, which reminds me, the other kind of nice feature for Ubiquiti is the main challenge you have when friends or relatives come over is they say, oh, can I have your Wi-Fi password? Right. And then you're digging it out or trying to figure it out, and kind of in the back of your mind thinking, I don't really want them to have my Wi-Fi password anyway. And the nice part is Ubiquiti can set up something just called a guest network all on its own, and it basically completely isolates you or that person from the rest of your network, but gives them access to the internet. And then you can also limit bandwidth and things like that. So if you're worried they're going to just suck all your bandwidth down, then you can keep them from doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess networks are not that anomalous, but it is good. It is nice to have a good one.
Yeah.
And to give it and definitely keep them off the subnet of the regular office or home and keep them constrained and not have them polluting your primary list of your own devices.
And you can even like for our office setting, we're required to manage that just for HIPAA reasons. So we you can issue vouchers and then set the vouchers to expire. And it's basically just a 6-digit alphanumeric code that they type in when they get a little like login-ish screen when they connect to the internet. And then that expires over a piece of time. Because it only needs the access point and the cloud key to work, I actually did that with my home network too, just for giggles. And about a week later, I had one of the neighbors come over and be grudgingly asked, like, so what happened to your guest Wi-Fi? Because we had been connecting to it when we were on our back porch because it was closer than our access point.
Oh, but at least it's he like, admitted it.
Darn.
Yeah. He did admit he'd been leaning on your Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. But, you know, it's fun, interesting to think that happens. And everybody should be securing their Wi-Fi all the time. I like passphrases in this too, right? That good, you know, these days with modern Wi-Fi configurations, you can give nice long passwords that have plenty of entropy, so nobody's going to guess them easily, and are easy for humans to remember because they're a sentence.
Right. That's all of mine are. And unfortunately, I still need more than one because the world hasn't changed from changing your password,
yeah.
But it's all permutations of the same idea.
Yeah, no, it's good. And you know, it is an interesting dynamic to try to figure that out. I'm also finding that the insights mechanism is and logging information is showing me the badly behaved Wi-Fi devices, that there are devices that are constantly connecting and disconnecting and just sort of grumpy. And you know where to pay your attention. Right.
And sometimes even wired ones too. Like I realized a few weeks ago that something kept connecting and disconnecting in the logs and scrolled through it and realized it was our, you know, multifunction fax copier that must have a bad network port.
Right.
And every couple of hours it just cycles itself and disconnects and reconnects. And it's like, well, nobody's complained that they can't copy, so I'm not going to fix it quite yet.
Yeah. But it certainly gives you a head up of what's going on. We mentioned Cloud Key briefly. So the Cloud Key is an alternative to running the app on the PC?
Right. So it's a small device. It's a little bit larger than a Raspberry Pi. It's a little awkward if you run a rack setup because it basically has a little tiny short cable and almost hangs off the front of the switch.
Right.
The newer one, I think, has the second generation one, which is a little bit better than the first one. You can get a rack
mount
like
for
a
it.
One you run for it and then mount it in the back. So yeah. It doesn't look quite so weird.
I think the cat, the one you mount for it is almost as much as the Cloud Key itself.
Yeah, it was kind of silly.
It's silly. But if you really want stuff tidy, that's where you end up.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, basically it plugs in and it really just works as a small computer on the network. So it's collecting traffic. If you want that like token or paid experience to get on your Wi-Fi or something like that, you'd need one of those devices. It does monitoring of your network. It lets you configure the various bits and pieces. And then it also allows you to basically link up with Ubiquiti's internet page. So if you do want to get and see everything remotely, you can create a two-factor auth with Ubiquiti's main page, and then it uses WebSockets type connection back to your Cloud Key on your network. And it doesn't require any special ports to be opened. It basically, like, the Cloud Key talks to their server and it proxies the traffic. So it's a nice and fairly secure way to kind of monitor your network when you're not in the house.
Nice. And just... you know, gets rid of that. I hate having a machine that has a special piece of software on it for anything like that. Like that you had not so much a single point of failure, but a single focal point for things. So the idea that now I have this device that's in the rack and yeah, it's a single point, but it's, you know, part of the shepherded rack and you just connect to that to get your consoles and to control your network.
Yeah. And I should mention the new Dream machines, both the Pro and the standard one, have that cloud key integrated into it. So you're not buying another piece of equipment. Right. At that point, it just runs as part of it.
Yeah, don't bother with the cloud key if you can buy the Dream Machine device.
Yeah.
I don't know how important the camera side of things in here, but there's so many companies making different kind of smart cameras, PoE cameras and things, from the Nest guys to the Wyze guys to obviously Unify. I don't know if I can, do you have to try and pick a provider? Like, which one do you want?
Yeah, I think it provides a strong experience over for the business side of things. Like, if you're used to having the Sony digital video recorder and all the cameras and things like that, like, this is a great alternative where it's built into your network. It's expandable with your network ports. You don't have to go, buy a new DVR if you have an 8-port DVR Sony one and you need the 9th camera kind of thing. And then supposedly I haven't seen the product or worked with it, but they have a new access control thing. So if you are the companies that have your own fob plates and everything else, apparently they have a new controller that integrates with all of that equipment. So you can now integrate the cameras with access control and track all of that. I think what their goal is to try to take all these small to medium business networky type of things that you want to connect and try to provide a single experience for it. So,
well, it strikes me that this is an opportunity when you're unhappy with your Wi-Fi, you're looking at a refit on networking, to sort of look at this and go, here's this stuff at the SMB price range. I mean, it's not a product here over $1,000. Even their high end 48 port PoE switch is $800. And it has some pretty serious features in it. And the Wi-Fi is sophisticated. Like, that is, seems to be their cornerstone product. Outdoor modules, stuff designed to go in floating ceilings, stuff to be wall mounted. Like, you've got all the choices in the world and you're not paying an extraordinary price for it.
Right. In fact, we even use their high powered point to point, equipment at my local parish to connect two buildings that just had a phone line running underground between them originally.
Nice.
And they're like, well, you can retrench for $4,000, or I can buy $500 worth of point to point equipment and do the same thing.
Yeah. And even $500 for point to point. Like, I used to do T1 wireless relay and it was $1,000 an antenna.
Yeah.
Like, this is a good price. Like, and reasonably practical. Like, YAG antennas are not that tough to aim. You do not need to be a rocket scientist to make that stuff work.
No. And in fact, the point to points with Ubiquiti actually are, when you're setting them up, they color themselves. And basically you say, okay, I have both ends turned on, and then they're red until you line them up, and then they go, I can't remember if it's blue or green, one of the two.
I think blue is the happy color.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, I'm good.
Got it. Yeah. Really interesting. Well, Daniel, thanks so much for spending some time with me. I wanted to talk to you about this, and I hope folks don't mind us recording that as well, because I am really interested in these guys have made a remarkable set of products. And this is far from a sponsored show, but Ubiquiti, if you're listening, I think your stuff's great. We'd love to have you as a sponsor. Yeah. and I'm going to keep using it. Like, I think you've talked me into a Dream Machine now. Like, that seems like an interesting product to take my network up to the next level.
Cool.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. Great to talk to you again.
Great. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.